and that thing end up in a fist fight. So I understand. I guess I sound like Mr. Rogers on crack, because I can disagree with you and smile and look at you and make a statement to make you know that I believe you completely out of your mind without eliminating your brain power. Oh, my goodness. No, the person said that to me just the other night. And I said, my goodness, what was this supposed to be, a low blow or something? But you know what that was? That was that person's way of tearing me down, because they had no idea what I was attempting to say and to do in the community that I lived in. And in the community that they grow up in, they have nothing but negative things to say. And if they can't say anything negative about somebody, they don't say anything when they're in a business exchange. It's just, you give me this and I give you that and I get out. No. Where was I? I was somewhere. Oh, and it must have been yesterday. I was in the supermarket and I purchased some food, because I do that when I run out of food. And I'm in line, and I think I spent about $168. And the lady asked me, would you like to make a donation for breast cancer? And I said, no, because I don't have breasts. And there was an elderly Anglo lady behind me, and she says, I beg to differ with you. You do have breasts. I says, well, not the kind of breast that gets cancer. And both of the ladies tried to correct me. As a matter of fact, they did. They said, well, you didn't know that men can get breast cancer too. I said, well, I didn't know that. And I said, but I'm still not going to make a donation. And then I asked the person behind the counter, I said, hey, listen, I got a question for you. I've been coming to this market for well over 30 years. I said, is there a senior citizens discount for people like me that's over 50 years old? The lady that I was talking to began to laugh, and she said, that would be helpful. And I said, I can see by your hair that you've been coming to this store that many years also. We began to laugh and talk. We were having a fair exchange. Now, if I were with that person that's a dear friend of mine and start talking with this Anglo lady about a discount for senior citizens in supermarket, it would sound like I'm Mr. Rogers on crack. Why am I having a conversation? That was just to spawn some interaction between other individuals and to cause them to smile. I do that all the time because I'm a friendly person. When I was out with my children, I was like that. That's the kind of human being that I am. I love being around people. I love causing or making people laugh, to smile. I was talking with Kyra and Carrie the other day, and Kyra was saying that her children would love to see me because I make them laugh sometimes when they listen to me over the... Well, of course I do. That's the kind of person that I am. Now, you know, a lot of times we can't do stuff like that because the past has crept in and destroyed our lives in the present. And my friends, when the past comes in to destroy the life in the present, it is so, so difficult for you to get things on the ball. See, because you have to make peace with your personal history, with people whose influence was not as constructive as it should have been. Your mama, your daddy, your friends, the person that raised you, the situations that you found yourself involved in. Before you marry a person, the past has destroyed some of these people's lives, and you have to think about that. One person calls it silencing the whispers that you've heard as a child that destroyed your confidence and made you fearful. These same voices sometimes raises doubts about your capacity for intimacy with the person that you marry. Oh yeah, some mess has happened in the past and you can't get intimate in the present. And then some of you guys said, girl, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Open up to me. She can't open up to you. She had some mess happen to her when she was a kid. And them voices are hollering all in her head. Then when you hear a positive message about self-worth and about the other things that can liberate yourself, when you listen to people like me, you say, oh, well, see, John ain't real. He's just Mr. Rogers on crack. That ain't the way it is. All of us are messed up, and we got to be messed up because that's the way it is. We just messed up. And you know what? That is a kind of disposition that I reject. That's a person that is given up in their lives. Some things have influenced us from the past, my friends. And some of us are subconsciously exhibiting some behavior that you've witnessed by your parents and other significant adults, including maybe even other siblings, caretakers, or guardians. These lessons are passed along, and you've adopted these lessons as adults in your lives. Now, I know you don't want to do this because, see, you're not willing to look deeply at yourself. If your marriage, if your relationship is going to get better, you got to look at what got you there. And I'm just going to give it to you in the real. You may get mad at me and never come back for the rest of these, but who gives a rooty toot about you? Stand in your madness. Your parents were whacked. And since your parents were whacked, you whacked in some of these areas. When you whacked and you marry people, you whack them. That's why you fussing and fighting and cussing, because you're whacked. That's why you're going through this counseling to get better. Now, I'm not going to play this nice game with you and try to talk all this psychological mumbo jumbo. That's crap. You're whacked. Tell yourself you're whacked, and so you can get better. Because if you don't admit that you're whacked, you will never get better. And I know a lot of, see, that's why I don't like you. I'm not going to pacify you. I'm not going to lie to you. Some people pay, you know what? Some people pay thousands and thousands of dollars for marriage counselor from these psychologists and people like that. And they go and using Freudian psychology to try to get, no, you whacked. You was molested. You was molested by somebody in your family repeatedly. And you got married and you never told the significant other that you married that you were molested. And that's why you're inhibited when it comes to sex. Because you was whacked. Your family was whacked. I know. Now I'm going to give you some exercises so you can jog your memory about long forgotten experiences that may influence your inability to find the right kind of soulmate. Can I do that? No, leave me alone, Pastor John. I don't like this mess now. You should have stopped at point number 10 when you was playing the music. Yeah, I know. See, you want to be entertained. You don't want to get real. You need to get real with me. Just want you to complete the following statements as I read them to you right now. The person in my family I most identified with was, now you fill in the blank. The person in your family that you most identified yourself with was, fill in the blank. Come on, don't be lying. I want you to answer this. Why did you identify yourself with that person? I got another one for you. I identify strongly with that person because, come on. Stop playing with me. We want to get real with it, right? Oh, John, no, come on. I got another one. Three significant attitudes about women that this person held were. See, now watch this. The three significant attitudes about women that person held were. In other words, if the person says, I think women are dogs, that women are nasty, that women need to be beat. You see what I'm talking about? Because see, these nitwits raised you with that kind of stuff. And now you got you a wife. You get what I'm saying? All right, we don't want to leave that on the men, the three significant attitude about men that that person held were. In other words, if it was a woman that influenced you, what are the attitudes that she had about men? Be careful of men. All they want to do is, you know what I mean? That's all they think about. No, she was twisted. And until you say she was twisted, and I know because you didn't place her as a god in front of you. And this man, too, they were whacked. That is not the normative way that people ought to think about other people. All right, how about this? Three significant attitudes that person held about relationships were. See, because these things have formed you. That's why you're in the relationship that you're having now. And the reason that that relationship is headed that way right now. See? Here's another one. When I was 15, I swore that I would never do these three things in a relationship. What are they? And I remember that because when I was 15, I swore I'd never get married. Why? Because I remember the battles that my mother and father had and the battles that my father had with his second wife. Now, with his third wife? Yeah, because in the African-American home, you think that there's just one marriage all those years? My daddy had three wives in his lifetime. I'm not one of those guys that came up in a purely two-parent home. When I was in a two-parent home, I received some pretty good things. But after mommy died, daddy went on a rampage. Here's another one. I learned most of what I know about the opposite sex from. Now, that's a good one. Most of the brothers would say from the streets. Most of what they know about the opposite sex, they picked up from the streets. So does that let you know why your behavior is whacked? Why you treating a woman foul? Why that whole situation is completely crazy. Hey, listen to this. I learn most of what I know about sex from fill in the blank. I would hope that you would say, well, from a father, from a mom, from someone that set me down and nurtured me. Come on. We need to tell the truth, don't we? How about this one? The best thing that my parents ever did for each other was. We talking about the best thing that you ever seen your parents do for each other was. Now, I can remember a couple of my, and my daughters could answer that question too. Because whatever Lucy wanted me to give her in this little house, I gave her. Lucy wanted to go to Hawaii. I took some retirement money and took the whole family, not just her, but her two teenage daughters and me to Hawaii. That was, man, one of the greatest 10 days we ever had of our lives. I have the pictures. I think I'll find some and put them up and so that you can see us in Hawaii. In the water and all that kind of stuff. It was just beautiful. Here's something else. The worst thing that my parents ever did for each other was. Now, I wonder how many stories we can come up with that. The worst thing that they did. Here's another question that I'd like you to answer. three significant questions about my parents' relationship that I can't answer are. See? And y'all need to sit down as a husband and wife and go over these things with each other. Why can't you answer them? Because you was living in dysfunctionality. Here's another one. I wish I knew what these answers were because. Right. And if you fill in the blanks, because maybe I would have had a more wholesome relationship. Here's another one. If I had to guess, I'd say that the answers to these three significant questions are. Then see if you can fill in those answers. I got three more, then I'm going to let you go. The major strength in my parents' love relationship was, fill it in. Some of you are probably saying, what? Yeah, right. Because I'm thinking about my mom and dad. The major strength in my parents' love relationship was, and I'm going to answer it right now, was us children. We five children. Pulled them together. They loved us. Number 15, the major unsolved problem in my parents' love relationship was, you fill in the blanks. I'm glad this is a computer because you can pause these things, go back and listen to them and do them again. And the last one, my family does or does not play an important role in my choice of partners because, then you fill that baby in. See the way that works? That's the way that works. My goodness, I can't believe that this 13th hour is gone. You know what? I want to thank you for coming to the website. This is Pastor John. We're going to continue with a section called Erasing Old Tapes. Some interesting stuff. When you pray, everything's going to be all right. This is Pastor John in the Lucy Coleman Studio thanking you for putting up with me another hour. God bless you. Lord willing, we'll continue these 20 hours later on. Bye-bye. Whatever you do, stay in the Word. Just have relationship up. I know he can. I'm sorry if I was hard on you, but I'm just trying to get through to you today. That's all. Jesus, help my people. Tell them what they got to do. Tell them. You got to pray, man. You got to pray. You got to have faith. Come on. Y'all need to pray together tonight. Get the kids around you and just pray. When you pray. Yeah. When you pray. Christianity works. I know I'm right about it. When you pray. Yeah. Gotta believe. Gotta believe. Just have faith when you pray.